Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Higher Thinking with Ashley.
And Bar. Good morning, y'all.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our new and improved, upgraded, revamped podcast. As you guys know, we were working with I Need Wine, and I Need Wine is sadly coming to the end of a chapter. I know we kind of gave you guys a runaround about it, but the truth is, Jessica and her family got some really great opportunities. She's also in school, and with me being in school and doing everything I'm doing, we just did not both have the time at the same time to podcast. Right. However, I am hoping that pretty soon her time frees up and she'll be able to podcast again. We talked about it a little bit, but you know, homegirl's busy and she's got kids and we all got kids, and so let me just address the biggest thing. There's absolutely no beef. Jessica and I still talk almost every day, but obviously, you know.
Were people, like, speculating that y'all got into it?
Yeah, people were like, there must be some beef. Jessica's gone. And it's like, I don't want
to
come on
here. Why does everything have to be beef? Have you realized that now in today's age? It's like, you can't just be like, in today's age, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, let's just take a break on this and figure some other stuff out. It's like, you have to have a problem.
Yeah, there's no problem. First of all, in my real life, like my real circle of friends, I don't have problems with them bitches. Me and my girls have been friends for a long time, and we talk shit to each other, we hash it out, and we move on. We don't really have problems. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But anyway, Jessica and I did not have a problem. Also, Jessica is the co-owner of Aries Beauty Studio, which is still very alive and thriving. She is my man with boots on the ground over there, since obviously I'm a different state. So yeah, we talk and communicate all the time. It's just shit, she didn't have time to podcast and I didn't have time to podcast at that time. Yeah,
y'all was constantly trying to figure out how to get in like the same room or go meet up at the salon. And
it's just a lot, you know, when your spouse has her spouse has a very like demanding job, he can't just, you know what I'm saying, she's in school, we also have a salon, like it was just a lot going on.
He can't just take off.
Yeah, so, and with me being gone from the salon, obviously Jessica is kind of just like, you know, overseeing everything that we would have both, you know, done. So I think just with scheduling and everything, it just kind of fell low on the priority list.
Right.
Let me say that. But it's a new dawn. It's a new day.
It's a new dawn.
And we're here. And I want to talk about something that has been on my heart. And what's been on my heart is Love is Blind.
I'm not there at all.
You have not been watching it, but we can get into 90 Day Fiancé, which you do watch, which we did watch last night.
I was about to say, wait, they like did a joint show because you could get into what?
So Love is Blind, if you don't know what it's about, where really are you? Love is Blind is about people who go into this experiment, they fall in love without seeing each other, then they do a little like 2-week experiment outside, and then they decide whether or not they're going to get married based upon the connection that they developed in the pods, which is the place where they don't see each other.
I feel like I've watched it.
You have watched it. We watched last season. But I want to talk about one specific person. And it's Bartice annoys the fuck out of me. And so does SK. And I'm going to tell you why. And then, guys, if you watch the show, I just want to know if this is a, if you feel like this is a good reenactment, a good representation of how SK did Raven. So basically, SK was all in love with Raven, all for Raven, telling her she's beautiful. The mom was telling her she loved her, all this, all that. Then they get to the altar, and he gives this whole spiel about how he loves her, how she's a great girl.
Oh, you told me about this yesterday.
And then he doesn't marry her. You could see even the look on his mama face was like,
I seen a little piece where the mom was talking to the girl.
And the mom was like, I love you. I don't know what he's thinking. That broke my heart. And it's like, see, that's just like a man. They played too many games. Me personally, I would have hit SK right, boom, right in the mouth. Are you serious? You really gonna play with me up on this on this altar?
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Out of pocket for letting me get all the way to the altar.
Especially because I feel like
you could have called it right before she walked out,
right? Or anything, but or you, right,
you let her come out on the altar.
They had a bunch of, and the only thing I feel like even more so strongly about that is because Raven was really trying to, how can I put this? As a bride, I don't see myself ever, what is that word called? Compromising. Like, there's certain things I'm not going to compromise. My attire, not compromising on that. She compromised on that. He's Nigerian. So, obviously, he wanted her to wear the, I don't know what it's called, so I'm not going to try to mislabel it. But, basically, it's like some head.
Like, some traditional shit.
Traditional shit that she wore. And that she really wanted to wear because she really wanted to let him know that she was trying to incorporate his culture. And she appreciated that. All the family showed up in their beautiful traditional Nigerian wear.
Everybody put on their best garments.
Just to play in her face.
I ain't gonna lie, that's sick.
I mean, I guess they're still together, so congratulations to them if they are. I like them together.
How
are
they?
I don't know. I'm still getting through the season.
Yeah, maybe he just couldn't do it at that moment.
Nah, he would have got punched at that moment. Because that's too many games. It's too many games. I don't like that. I feel like some couples get up there and they blindside each other. But the way that they were acting, like how they were in love, how they...
Oh, bruh did that on the last season too. Wasn't that the show?
No, that was the girl who didn't marry him. Wasn't it? It was that guy and that girl, and we were so certain they were going to be married. And I think it was the girl who was like...
Yeah, we were so certain he wouldn't go marry her, and then she didn't marry him. Nah, he didn't marry her.
That was Deep D.
Deep D.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Yeah, he was doing her shady, bro. He was an asshole. Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Deep D.
Shout out Deep D. Yeah, so, I don't know. Could you do Love is... Do you think Love is Blind?
Hell no. No. That is one of the biggest myths ever told. That is one of the things where it's like, yeah, everybody is beautiful in someone's eyes, but I ain't gonna lie. Some people are just fucking ugly, bro. We can just be mean about it, all right?
In my eyes,
right. So that further solidifies my opinion in my eyes that love is not blind.
But the whole point of the experiment is to get you to understand the person's person.
Of course.
So I'm saying...
To look past...
So you don't think that if you were on this experiment, right? You met a girl, you talked to her. You connected with her.
Okay.
And then you got out the pods and she didn't really look exactly how... She was ugly to your definition. Would that be a deal breaker? Considering that she's checked all the boxes... Emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally.
No, it wouldn't. I can't necessarily. Okay, yeah.
Be real.
So I'm going to say this, bro. It's going to be. What level of like.
Blindness.
Blind. You feel me? Like, am I walking in this motherfucking taking off a pair of sunglasses? Or was my eyeballs just sewn shut? You feel me? Like, what level of. Sorry for the lack of better words. Ugly.
It doesn't matter. I'm asking you, whatever level of ugly doesn't negate the fact that you've been searching for this girl.
Yes. At a certain point, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Wow, 100%.
Really? Yep. That's how it is. I'm not one of the people that say, oh, you can fall in love with somebody. You can love somebody. But if I, at a certain point, there, because I feel like once you can become unattractive to me to a certain point where it's almost appalling to me, honestly. So it's like,
with, I don't understand what you're saying. You said you can become attractive.
You can be unattractive to me to the point where it's almost appalling. You feel me? Like you just like, ugh.
Hello.
Like, ugh, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deal breaker, 1,000,000%. I'm not gonna lie. I appreciate that you was, you feel me, was all of that, but. I ain't about to be in a relationship with you. You might be like a down side piece nigga that I pull
Damn.
Out that I pull out every once in a blue moon when I know shit tight and you gonna take care of it.
What a loser ass thing to say.
Nah, but I'm just saying though, like okay, all bullshit aside, no, I cannot do that. If you are ugly at a certain point, love is blind to an extent.
I feel that same way because I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, it's blind. No, bitch, if you're ugly, I'm not fucking with you, and that's just. Period. That's just what it is.
Love has...
Even though I can 12, say this...
13 vision.
I can say this. In the past, I have dated guys... We talked about this, too. I have dated guys who I feel like... I'm even going to say guys. I dated a guy in the past who I feel like was not attractive. However, his personality was so fucking bomb. This was so many years ago. We were like in high school. But I'm just saying, like, everyone was like, you don't know him.
Okay.
Everyone was like, oh, he's ugly. You don't see that. And I'm like, yeah, I see what you see. But he's also like, he was just great. Like, his person was just great. So at that moment, I'm not going to say love is blind, because I wouldn't say I was in love. But I would say that at that moment, what he brought to the relationship, like his funniness, his wittiness, overweighed the fact that he wasn't so attractive. And maybe that's because we weren't having sex.
Right.
The thing, if you're not having sex with the person, like, if you never have this level of intimacy, then I really don't think looks come into play.
Yeah. But for shit, for all you know, bro could have beat the Doonies down.
Yeah, he could have. But I'm just saying, we never got there. And I think the reason why is because I was immediately attracted to his personality, his funniness.
So you liked him as a person, not...
No.
As a boyfriend.
I liked him as a boyfriend. He was good company. He walked me to class. He made me laugh. But at the same time...
Y'all was kissing and shit?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I feel like all of that probably came from the fact that you didn't find him attractive for real.
But who was I kissing back then? People I did find attractive, I wasn't kissing back then.
You kissed me. The fuck you talking about? Couple times.
He was way before you.
I was about to say, high school, baby, you came in fresh 10th. It wasn't that way. It wasn't that long before me.
You're right.
You had to. Yeah. You're right. You had your flavor.
He had to be like end of 8th grade going into 9th grade.
That ain't that long before me.
It ain't that long before you. No, it's not. But also, I don't feel like that negates the fact, but I was attracted to you in high school physically, but not really any other way.
Yeah,
I feel like.
How did you know that? And you wasn't even doing them type of behaviors back then.
I have to explain myself to you. What the fuck? I'm telling you what I know. I liked you physically. I don't think I really knew you enough personality wise to take that into consideration. I mean, I knew your personality. And I'm not going to sit here and cap. But to say that I really knew you, that's an overstatement.
No. You also do forget a lot of the conversations that we had.
No, we talked a lot, but I'm just saying, the way that I knew Danny, I never knew you. Mm. Me and him, like...
I feel like I remember you talking about him.
Yeah, remember I said that dated a little white boy? He was the sweetest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Danny. Well, maybe not because I'm married, but so long ago, Danny was a sweet kid. He was the only kid that was nice to me.
That's why he was dating.
No, he was just like, you know, he was just cool. So I think that love can be blind.
It can be. I'm not saying it can't.
And I feel like if you're... Because maybe I'm going to negate what I just said. But I'm married, so I can't say I would marry Danny. But I'm saying someone's going to marry him and so appreciate who he is.
Right.
And don't you think maybe the physicality can come?
Yeah, it can come. But I'm not one of them people.
Okay.
I need to know beforehand, for real.
You need to test drive before you buy.
Because I'm not one of them. First of all, love can be blind, but I ain't never been in a position where I just ain't seen your face whatsoever. And I'm just, like, not you specifically, just ain't seen a face whatsoever. And I'm just, we just in deep. Like, no, I see your face. That's now, true. And I've still been great friends with
people I didn't find attractive
at all.
Yeah.
Great friends with them. Some of my best friends that I was cool with female-wise was extremely unattractive to me. But that further solidified, I loved who you were as a person.
Right, because there was no other motive.
So we going to be dope ass. I'm going to call you and tell you everything. I'm going to see you, bruh. Check this out. Like, we partners for real.
Yeah.
But if we get in that room, ain't nothing going down.
That's fair.
That's more like, hey, what is you doing, bro?
That's chill out. Fair. That's when you're like, bro, we friends.
Yeah, come on, bro. You drunk. Like, back up.
I mean, I like what the experiment does, though. Nah, I mean, it's in dope. Theory, I feel like, to be very, very honest, a physical attraction to me is absolutely important. Like, for me, physicality is, like, almost all of it. I'm not even going
to
lie.
Well, I ain't going to lie. I wouldn't go on that show to do that unless it was one of two things. It was either, one, I was trying to find gains from it, of course, like how most people go on TV shows.
The clout money.
Yeah, clout money, opportunities, resources. Or it's because I have significantly struggled at every other form of trying to find love.
But I think some of them have. I think, right. So I think for some of them.
For the people that have gone through it, this is a perfect experiment. Because it's like, I've tried it every other way. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe most people didn't find them attractive as well.
Yeah.
You feel me? Maybe most people was like, oh shit, you're kind of not. So maybe they're going in off of a different.
And I'm sure that some of them seen each other and I was like, oh,
what the fuck. Oh shit.
But I think that.
What's this called? Brett did that shit. Ooh. In the last season. That with we don't like. Yeah.
Yeah, that
he
was.
Tried to make it seem like Deep
First
T was
of all,
ugly.
Deep T was beautiful.
Hell yeah.
I don't understand. Deep T. Deep T was not only beautiful. But to me, how do I say this? I'm not even going to try to say it correct, politically correct.
We already starting.
Politically correct, because this is my podcast. There are some people in this world. How can I say this? Okay, I'm going to say it and you tell me how to say it. There are certain people who belong to certain cultures or ethnicities or races or whatever you want to call. And all their people are like inherently, naturally like beautiful people.
Right.
Like, does that make sense? What I'm trying to say? Like, if you ever, like.
Straightforward, I'll do it. Let me be the
Indian women are beautiful.
Let me be the bearer of the put a group together person. Indian women are beautiful.
Are beautiful. Most of the time. And it's not only about her being Indian. It's about the. Why I bring the Indian up. I don't even want to say Indian because actually I don't know if they're Indian.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to say their culture.
Worldwide wise, that's not a looked upon.
Yeah, I don't want to say Indian, so I'm going to take that back. I'm going to
say
Asian. I'm going to say
Indian.
I'm going to say this. The reason why Deep T and what's his name irritated me is because he was running from his culture. Him and Deep T have some of a similar,
and she was embracing her
similar
shit.
Culture. And it's like, when
and
you look
good doing it.
At women like that who embraced their culture, even her mom was beautiful, the skin tone, the hair tone. Like, I just don't. But also, like you said, it's subjective to each person. Because when I look at Deep T, I see a beautiful woman. I see features.
Yeah. And that, some people might look like bruh and be like, no.
But then you look at him and you're like, bro, really? You can't. Beggars can't be choosers.
I think the only reason Brett did that is because he was trying to run away from his culture.
That's why I bring up her culture. That's why I bring up her culture. Because I don't think he wanted to marry a woman his culture.
That nigga was trying to be American. I mean, dude, bro, that guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, bro was trying to be American.
Because I just feel like, I don't know. It's almost kind of similar to me when black men be like, oh, I don't date that black woman, but have a whole black mother and have a whole black grandmother.
Yeah, I don't never understand.
Like, what do you mean you don't date women? I feel like it's just a form of self-hate.
Yeah, I was about to say self-hate, because I ain't gonna.
Because you can date who you want to, but to only exclude that group of people who are your people, for me, is like rooted in self-hatred.
Yeah. Right.
I can see saying like, oh, I date everybody, but I'm currently with a white man. I'm currently with an Asian man. I'm currently with a black man. But for me to be a black woman and say, I'm a black woman, I don't date black men. And then to stereotype them because I don't date black men because they don't do shit.
Right.
But I'm a black woman with a black father who don't do shit. So now you see where that self-hatred is coming in. You know what I'm saying? Because where else would you say that? That pissed me off about Deep T. But I do think that if I did this challenge and I came out And bro was not looking how I was picturing his voice to look in the pods. I think I would give it a go. I mean, I would still give it a go. And I think I would try to see if that physical connection could grow. Because sometimes I feel like you put so much on the physicality of it that you are lacking every mental and spiritual awareness from that person. But they're hot and the sex is really good.
No, I feel like that is true for some people.
Some people.
That, not for me.
Okay.
I don't think that's true for me at all. Mm-hmm. You could be extremely attractive. Your personality put me off. I'm one of the people that's going to openly express it. Like, you are just not a good person at all. Like, mm-hmm. You feel me? So it's like, I could definitely say, like, that both things play a part to me severely. You feel me?
Personality and physicality.
Yeah, it can be. The personality is more of a deal breaker than the physicality, for real.
Oh, for sure.
That's way more of a deal breaker. You could be the sexiest person walking this earth. If your personality is trash as hell,
it's trash.
It's gonna put me off. It's mm-hmm. gonna make me not attracted physically, mentally. It's gonna, like, you feel me? So it's like both can be a deal breaker for real. Mm-hmm. Now, love is blind, but I feel like true love is not blind. Deep, true love is not blind. Long, deep, true, lasting love is not blind. I feel like you can fall in love. You can fall in love at first sight. You can see somebody and be like, oh. Or you can have a conversation and somebody be like, damn, I really like that person.
But that's what I'm saying. It's based on looks. But, so we're not basing it on falling in love with a first conversation.
That's what I said. Or you could say off. You could do, oh yeah, because they do the conversations first. Mm-hmm. And they fall in love off the conversation, then looks come into play. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that I feel like both things going to play a part at some point.
That's true. Because once you develop that, you guys have an emotional connection and you try to explore the physical and there's no physical, I think that might ruin the emotional.
Right.
And I think that we do see that happening sometimes with couples where they're like, well, in the pods, it was great. But when we get to with each other, I don't feel anything. And I think it's because it's a lack of physical connection, lack of.
And then some people ain't got the confidence to even have that same confidence they had when they was behind that wall where nobody could see them.
That's true.
Now we face to face. I got to keep up the same energy.
And now your person has changed. Yeah.
Right. You see very rarely where a dude or a female, it's openly expressed as like, I don't find my significant other attractive physically. Mm-hmm. But I love it here. You feel me? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, you see very rarely where somebody is like, love really is blind to me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's like one or maybe like 0.7% of cases in the world for real. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, all of it plays into it at some point.
Yeah, I think they're both important, but I think that personality could be a tad bit higher on that list.
Yeah, because
than physicality.
You find somebody great personality-wise and y'all don't have sex for a year and a half, that's a problem. You tried that year and a half to make it work, but that physical connection never happened. At a certain point, as a human being, you're going to start wanting
something. Well, I think it dwindles the emotional connection when the physical connection can't be formed.
Yeah. Because
we see that, too, where it's like, we just can't cross that line. Like, it's just not.
And that silicone and rubber ain't going to last all that time.
Yeah, I don't know. But I like what they're doing with that idea, and I want to switch topics to 90 Day Fiancé, which we did watch last night with Kimbali. It's got Angela.
Is that Angela?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember their names. But it's got a lot of people that we like. And so I want to start.
Soulja Boy.
I want to start with Kimbali. You guys know we had her on my podcast. If you don't know, she's from 90 Day Fiancé. Go back and watch it. She has a man that's from some part of Africa. I don't know which part, but he is a rapper in Africa. I don't, that's Angela's man.
Oh, it is.
They could be same place. I'm just
Lagos,
not sure.
Maybe? Or they were just in Lagos?
I think he was shooting a video in Lagos. Okay. I don't know if he's from Lagos. So let's talk about that. Now, Kimbali, I love you. I love you, Zam. You know this. However, Usman's getting on my nerves. And let me tell you why. You're getting on my nerves too, and I'm gonna tell you why. And I love you guys, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because I'm gonna make a broad statement. I don't like about this show is that Americans, we steady showing our ass, and it makes us look so dumb. I don't like it when
but that's because we really are in the rest of the world. In the we rest are, of the world.
But when you put it on my TV to and mock shows me, to mock me, I feel like, you know, when that Trump shit was happening there and it was just so divided and everyone was like, they're idiots. I feel like that. Like, you Americans are idiots and I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when we go over to other people's, like, no, we have no culture over here. Right? So if I marry a man here, he's not expected to pay a dowry. He's not expected to, like, your expectations.
Our traditions are not the same out here.
Yeah, they're just low. They're just different.
Our culture is, like, taken from every
You
other
can
part.
Meet my parents empty-handed. Like, also, hell, if my parents don't agree, I can still run off and marry you. Like, we don't really have that culture issue here, but I don't like it when we go other places that are rich in culture.
Like Africa.
And then try to America. Try to America. We're America Inc. You know what I'm saying?
Angela does that. That shit. I loved her at the beginning. Because I was like, she hella funny. She is outspoken. She don't give a shit. And then I was like, okay, you got to tone it down a little bit now. You in the wrong situation out there to do this. Mm-hmm. And now it was just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I think it's the fact that it's like, when you come over here and you sit, when you go over there and you say you're going to marry a man and you know this man is deep in his culture. Not even that. This man is deep in culture. This man's mama say he can't marry you. This man is not going to marry you. This man's village. Even Sumit and I can't remember, Jenny. It's like his parents don't want them to get married. They look literally threatening him. They're in India somewhere. Like, literally threatening him. Like, if we see you, it's up.
They will, like, kill you. They will, like, kill you for disgracing their shit out there.
It bothers me when we go over to other places.
Sticks and rocks, bro.
And then we're like, we have no patience for their culture. We have no... I see a lot of, it shouldn't be like that. Well, like for instance, Angela and... what's his name? Michael. Now, everyone knows something about African men. They are big on their pride. They are big on their respect. You can't go over there
and start screaming at him in front of everybody and doing hella shit.
Yeah, because to them, that's ultimate like disrespect.
First of all, how dare you do this? But how dare you do this in front of all of these people mm-hmm. that know and respect mm-hmm. you?
Now, in America, we can get in front of our friends and be like, that's an American thing, really.
And then it's even worse because they like, you letting this American woman come out here and talk to you like this, bro?
Yes.
What?
And then
she's not even also not yo.
Woman for real. Right. She's not your color.
Yeah, y'all are two completely different ethnicities, you feel me?
That's another thing, too. I think that
you heard
when they go over there.
What Brett said about, what's her face? And about Kimbali and Soulja Boy
buying the cow.
He was like, I've never. This is the first time I've ever seen a white woman. That Damn. Still is regular in parts of the world, especially places like yeah. Africa.
But so then when first, you go there and you just feel like you're, like for instance, that I'm gonna bring you back to Kimbali. Kimbali, you already knew she can't. She not doing the kids thing. Usman wants kids. Now in his culture, polygamy is a thing. He can take up as many wives as he seems fit for his family or whatever.
Akon got like 6 wives.
Now, you knew that. And you also knew you don't want to have kids or can't have kids or whatever situation is. You know his family looking for kids. You know he is not going to disappoint them. So when he starts talking about what he's going to do, it's almost as if you're shocked and upset.
In America, it is acceptable to be shocked and upset because that's not something that typically take place out here. It's like, okay, you don't want to have
kids. He didn't come here, babe. You took your ass right there.
In America, that's okay because then it's like, what the fuck do you mean? You trying to go, what? Out there, it's like, I ain't gonna lie. You should expect it for you to have a couple sister wives off the
bat. But it's not even that. It's not even that. It's about the fact that you And not just you, I'm talking about all of them, these women in general, that go to another country and get with the man. You choose to go over there and put yourself in his their culture. In his culture.
You didn't bring him to yours.
And you are not the end all be all, so you can't go in and try to Malcolm X make a change, bitch. You got to get in where you fit, and also, you're white. So you really can't come over here and try to rectify any of our long-standing traditions or our beliefs. Really fucking because you already brought a white woman home. Now, in America, gives a fuck who you date? Who gives a fuck about the age you date? If I'm going to be 21 and I want to date a 76-year-old man, who's really going to have a problem with that?
Nobody can say nothing.
Now, in another culture, you brought a white woman home. We never really even see white people where we're from. You brought a white woman home. She's much older than you. She can't give us grandkids. She can't continue on our legacy. She can't make our family. You know, she doesn't. She's a little older. She doesn't want to. Or I don't know. I don't really exactly know her situation, but I just know that she's not willing to go down that path. Angela also is not. It has openly talked about how she's not having any more children. And Michael wants kids. But see, Michael's like in his 30s.
Yeah.
Angela's like in her 50s. Same with Usman and Kimbali. So, to me, if you brought him to America and he was doing that shit, maybe you could be like, we don't do that in America.
Yeah,
but you go to Africa and you surprised that you don't want to have a kid with this man and this man wants to get another wife to have a kid, you should do your research on the plane ride over there.
When you go to another country, you have to be open to their culture.
You have
to. And I know it's not, it's like nowhere near as like cultured and like, I would say like so super traditional in certain places as far as like Africa and shit like that. But when I went to London, I knew I was about to walk into a completely different environment and still did not like expect to see what I walked into. But when I finally got off the plane and went home and woke up the next morning and walked out the door and really took in that I was in a completely different world, I went, all right, I'm really going to have to get used to everything and just accept that shit goes a certain way. So I had to immediately accept that everybody travels by bus and train. You feel me? I had to immediately accept that
people aren't as openly friendly out there.
In America, it's like, bro, back up. We on a bus or a train and you bumping into me, bro, move. Mm-hmm. Give me some space. Out there, it's like we're sardines in a train station.
And one's tripping.
I can smell your armpit and I can smell your butt for real. That's how close we are. Right. But we all got to get to where we're going, you feel me?
And it's not like, move, bro. Yeah, it's in like my way. Like,
you might see some stank faces, but ain't nobody really having issues, you feel me? So it's like, you have to go to a different place, and even the smallest things you got to accept are going to completely change. So your American way of being like, yeah, I could do this. We have freedom.
I want to talk about that. Okay, so let's get into that a little bit. I don't think a lot of people know that you went to London.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about this in this podcast. We might have, but I'm going to re-talk about it. If you don't know, Barr lived in London for 2 years?
Two and a half.
Almost 3 years. He is a UK citizen.
A British citizen.
And yeah, so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Because you were young and you were much dumber than you are now. That's just straight up.
Nah, 100%.
So when you went...
I done picked up like another 3 sections of a brain since then.
When you went, did you ever have that entitled mindset of like, you guys are doing it wrong?
No, I had that mindset as far as like arguing with my partners about stuff. Like, they'd be like, bro, that is not how you say that. Or like how we say aluminum. They'd be like... No, nah, mate, it's aluminium.
Aluminium.
And I'm like, that's dumb as hell. It's aluminum. And then we have that type of argument.
Yeah.
But I wasn't never like, oh, y'all are just doing this wrong. Like, that's wrong, that's wrong.
But even if you never said it, did you ever feel like, in America, this would, like...
Yeah, no, so there was a whole bunch of times where I seen shit, I was like, this is dumb. We wouldn't do this. Okay. Why are you doing this?
Okay.
And then I was immediately like, well... I'm not where I'm from.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So whether I think it's
they don't
stupid,
care
not,
how you do it over there.
What am I gonna do? Stand on a roof and be like, "Oh, you guys are dumb for doing this," and then get beat up by the town?
Literally exiled.
Yeah. So it's like I had that. I didn't have that. What I had really was is the shock of like really constantly, and I would say even for like a year straight. Sorry, even for like a year straight, the constantly. Being reminded that I'm in a whole different world now.
Because it looks nothing like here.
It doesn't look anything.
It doesn't even smell the same.
There was nothing that I looked at out there that reminded me of home at all. The only thing that reminded me of home was when I met Ghosh and his family.
Right.
Everything else, though, reminded me I was in a different country. Mm-hmm. And I was not in my world whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't have that, like, oh, this is just stupid or something like that. And voiced it some stuff. I was like, yeah, this is ass backwards. Why would y'all do this? Mm-hmm. But then, I ain't gonna lie. I also, now, at this point,
appreciate how they do things.
At this point, I look at most of the stuff they do and look at the stuff how we do shit and be like, we're actually dumb.
Yeah.
We're doing this horrifically wrong. We are doing this all the way wrong.
All wrong. We had it all fucked
like,
up.
I've really officially realized that America was just like, we see how all of y'all are doing it and we're going to take this and say, fuck you, and now we're our own shit. Mm-hmm. And that
none of it makes sense.
It's somehow working this many hundreds of years later.
Oh, it's not working.
It's not working.
It's not working.
This motherfuckers is barely fucked. Afloat. We got a couple patches in the hall right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I realized like America actually sucks for real. Like other places are way better. Like for real.
London well, I mean, I think the difference is like
we also grew up here too.
We grew up here, but also like yes, we grew up here. That's what it boils down to. We grew up here. We grew up in a lack of culture. Now, not us, because we're from the Bay Area.
Yeah, we and got culture.
Bay Area
we have culture.
Is cultured. And one thing I really love about the Bay Area is that a little bit of everyone's culture is in there. If you go to the Bay.
But then it gets in there mixed into a way where it is now our culture.
Yes, it's like a fusion.
Yeah, it's
like
you
ever had like Chinese, Mexican, like fusion, like whatever, Caribbean, Asian fusion. We have like Bay Area fusion.
Yeah.
Like wherever you're from, whatever you bring it.
And come put that little hyphy on it.
And come put that little sprinkle on it.
Put a little thizzle on it.
Yes. And then we all adapt it. Like that's what I love. Yeah. I love that about the Bay Area is that in the Bay, I feel like I grew up seeing everybody, every race, every ethnicity. I grew up seeing everybody that looked every type of way. And a lot of the times, those people were in our Bay Area culture, but at home had a whole culture themselves.
Duh.
You know what I'm saying?
They was going home to, like, Asian families and, like, really
and their actual
being in
culture.
Their culture. You feel me?
Yes.
Properly doing everything, speaking the way they supposed to speak, eating certain ways, like, really doing it. And then walking out the house and be like, hey, I do.
But also, I like that because I feel like that's why in the Bay we all have like, if you go to the Bay and you try to be racist, it's not going to work.
There's been, like, two videos that surfaced.
Everybody is no one's having it because
you get beat up.
Those people who go home and are in their culture are the reason why the Bay Area has its culture. Our food, all of that comes from a melting pot of everybody being willing to give a little bit of their culture to
us. Yo, what's up? We all here.
And so now it's the Bay culture, but it came from their home.
Right.
What they practice
their
and preach.
Roots.
Their roots.
They brought some
and
of their
I like
roots
that because
threw
I think
it into the pot.
Our minds are a little bit more expanded because of that versus a person who's never seen a white person, a person who's never seen a black person, a person who's never seen an Asian person.
Right. If you ain't never seen a white person, when you see a white person, you're going to be like, what the
exactly.
fuck
Or if you've never heard about a Asian culture, then you go to their house and all their shoes are off.
You're going to be like, what the fuck is this?
And you got to, you know, wash your hands before you go in. You're shocked.
Yeah, it's a culture shock.
Because you don't understand that people at home have a culture.
Right. That's a fact. Right, that's a fact. Because at the crib, we just loosely do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, but people have cultures.
I know.
People have ways of how they go about things. And sometimes I wish, like my friends, my Hispanic friends or my Asian friends,
but if you
people
think
that I know, like, sometimes I'm like, damn, I don't really have a culture. Like, if I was African, like, African-African.
Yeah, you would have a real
I'd have a culture. But I'm like American African, quote unquote.
Yeah,
I don't have
African American.
Yes, I don't have any. Unfortunately, as much as I really hate to say this, I don't have no connection. I don't know what that is.
Right.
But then I see friends who have that culture, have that those things that they do, those things that they pray to, those things that they cook on these certain days, when they fast, when they eat, when they do this, and I feel like that gives more to a person, an individual.
Right.
It's more of an it's more of being able to identify who you are. Because I'm Ashley from the Bay and my culture is the Bay, but that's it.
Nah, but you know what though? That's not it.
But it is.
But it's not though. I'm telling
because
you.
Because I can't adopt anyone else's culture.
You gotta think about this is coming from I sat down and I hate to bring it up, but when I was in Merced in jail, I was this Asian kid, right? Remember I told you when I was joking about, not even joking, he was about to do the 40 grams of fentanyl when he got out, 14 grams or whatever?
That's sad.
Sucked. I hope he didn't.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he's fixing his brain still. We had a long conversation, but him, he was telling me, like, we was watching, I believe it was like a Mongolian kind of channel or something like that, you feel me? And, yeah, it was Mongolian, because my boy Fatty was there too. But anyways, we was watching this type of channel. And they was making this food, like a squirrel or something, like blue squirrel. And I'm like, they like, oh, that's hella good. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, nah, that's one of the things that we cook in certain seasons, kind of. It's hella good. And I'm like, okay. So that sparked a conversation with me and Fetty. And we started to, we call him Fetty, whatever. So that sparked a conversation with me and him. And he was telling me, like, he, like, at home, he's supposed to have, like, his real culture, you feel me? Like, and he was saying, like, how he miss it. And the music was playing on the TV and shit. And we both was, like, sucked into it. And he, like, yeah, it's so good. I want to go back to it. He was like, but I love being a part of the black culture for real. The music, he said, the way you talk, he'd start going down the list of shit that I never realized was really, like, our culture.
Yes, kinda. We have a culture, but that doesn't come from don't feel like that comes from the roots of who, for instance.
But we don't have roots of where we came from. Like, we have roots.
Exactly!
Motherfuckers stole us and threw us over here.
Exactly! And so that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not as culture rich as the people who didn't get stole.
Here's church.
Exactly.
Literally, y'all over here.
Here's English.
Here's church.
Here's God. English.
This is what we know as the white man. This is what we need you to learn.
Yes.
So now it's like, yeah, of course, 200, 300 years
later.
So that's
later, what I'm saying. We have, I don't think, yes, it's our culture. But I think
it really ain't our culture.
But it's not our culture.
This shit was through us.
It's just.
And we may do what we could.
It's not really our culture. It's.
Now where you go to fucking Africa and they got their sick ass garments and you don't see that type
culture,
of dress shit. You don't see that type of clothing nowhere else. If you see somebody walk out and they full get up and they from Africa, you feel me? Shit, sorry for the lack of better words. That's why I'm using what I'm using.
African, say African.
I know. I'm saying
that's
like
a it's, broad.
There's
place.
A, I know, but I'm saying like there's a specific name for some of the clothing and shit. You feel me?
You just call it the traditional attire.
Yeah. So the traditional attire, you see them come out in that. No matter if it's on Instagram, you could be in France, you could be in Australia. You see that you like. That's African right there. 100%. That's real solid culture. That's dope. America, you see the clothes we wear out here, you're going to be like, okay, that could have came from France.
Even when you go.
That could have came from Germany. Like,
even
just
when
to
you
see
go
you
back,
stuck in your culture like that and so go back so many years.
Right.
And hundreds and
connected.
Hundreds of years or thousands of years you done went back and it's still deep.
Right.
That's sick.
Right. We don't have that.
No, we don't. I don't.
That's not.
We only go back like 250
years. What he was speaking about is what we have adapted as an African-American culture.
Right.
But so when you see a traditional African person.
I love
person,
that you just realized something. So when a person, right.
When a person, when you see a person with traditional African attire, well, from despite wherever they're from, when you say, well, where are you from? They'll say, well, I'm this. And I'm this culture. Because it's not all the same. Just because it's in Africa, it ain't all the same.
Yeah.
Now, when you say, and so my point in bringing that up is when they tell you who they are, where they're from, more specifically, that is why you could take it back 1,000 years.
Right.
That is why you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we don't have that.
It's like, where are you from?
Even you see a lot of other cultures.
What are you? Black.
I'm black. From the Bay. But when you see those people, they're like, oh, I'm Nigerian, and this is our culture. Oh, I am, you know, Pakistani. This is our culture.
Right.
Because it's all different. And that's how you can go back and see the holidays they celebrated and the chants they did to make, you know, the flower grow and the rain the comes. Rain and to come, when like, it connected, when it connected everybody back to their earth.
Yeah.
That's what we meant. That's what we lack as African Americans.
Yeah, those real deep cultures, they all connect back to right. earth for real.
Exactly.
Like, y'all come back from real old ways of earth. Getting shit to work.
Right. So now when you think about
it, they ain't got thousands of years you're of black, shit working.
You're black.
For no reason.
And you're white, mm-hmm. right? What are you?
I'm black.
Okay. No, no, no. But I'm saying, like, what are you?
Nothing. I don't fucking know.
Exactly.
I
have, you don't I have, know. Because I, even though when I told you're you, white, you could be Irish.
Remember
you could
when
be
I told
whatever,
you,
whatever.
Supposedly, I'm supposed to be, like, some kind of Creole or something, black, white, because apparently there's white, and then there's also Irish, German, Dutch, and a whole right. bunch of other shit. So I'm supposed to have, like, 9 different, like, backgrounds, which means I don't got a tradition. I don't have a tradition.
But now, if...
I have to, like, pick one and be like, I'm going to go neck
deep into this. Or you can
this.
Pick and kind of incorporate them all, but the point is, you didn't grow up with that. You grew up being white and black mixed.
And then I ultimately wanted to become more a part of, like,
if you think about it, that's an American thing.
Yeah.
That's an American thing.
Because don't do that shit no real.
Even if you go... Like, I was watching a this is a very interesting TikTok I was watching of a black girl who lived in Asia. And she... Her mother was Asian and her father is black. And she was raised in Asia with her mother. So people were in her comments like, why the fuck do you speak whatever language she was speaking very fluently? And, you know, why the fuck are you... You know, she was into, like, K-pop and, like, how they do their makeup and yeah. anime and all this stuff that's associated with that culture. And people just could not understand why, as a black woman, she wasn't being black. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, that shit is...
Because...
As a black woman, she wasn't being... Black.
Exactly. As a black woman, she was not being black. You know why? Because she's raised in Asia.
Right. So
she speaks another language.
She has that traditional background.
She has a exactly. That is a prime example to show that here, when you see a black person, that's the end of who they are. They're black. Right. Okay. Put on some motherfucking Waukesha and let's get lit. That's our culture. But then when you see a black woman somewhere else, you can't expect the same thing. But it's really only here that we don't connect ourselves to a deeper meaning and purpose.
We don't. It's because we're fucking confused and brainwashed out here. That's how they brought us out here. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
But not just black people. And I also think it has to do... That was a remote on accident. I think it has to do with the fact that people came here and saw this as land of opportunity. And me and Jessica have spoke about this. Jessica is Hispanic, and she doesn't speak Spanish.
Right.
And that's because her parents, one of her parents or her parents, thought that that would lessen her
chances
Americanness
mm-hmm.
if she spoke Spanish. And it's a lot of people that come here, and they lose their culture because we make it so hard to have a culture and be American. You're in America. Why the fuck are you wearing that? You're in America. Why the fuck are you eating that? Why the fuck are you drinking that? And so I feel like a lot of people, when they came here, they dropped their culture to be able to be a part of whatever they thought this was going to be.
And
I feel like that's why a lot of us don't, even if we are something else, we don't have it.
Yeah, we don't have it no more.
Because... Whoever came here, however people initially got here, it was lost.
Right.
Now, when you go to Africa, they're rich in that shit. Their shit was never lost. You go to Mexico, you go to South America, their shit is rich over there. You go to any other place in the world, their shit is rich.
Right.
It's here that it's so watered down and people are almost ashamed to be a black woman. But not, you see me as a black woman, but I'm Nigerian, love.
Right.
And that's who I am.
Right.
Or, you know, you see me as...
I am black, but...
A white woman, but I'm Irish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see that here.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of the reason why...
And I feel like when you do see it here, and the few people you do see it, you take it as a joke. Like, okay.
Or, like, for instance, when we were in high
school...
Or,
like, you trying hella hard.
We went to high school with... I don't want to say her name, but she wore a hijab.
You talking about my homie?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And I remember
Nah, fuck that. That's like, sis, shout out Karima. I love you,
girl. Oh, I didn't know she
wanted to. I love you, Karima.
So we went to high school with a girl named Karima, and I remember hearing little shit about how she wore skirts and she wore hijabs. And she never stopped.
Nah, she rocked her shit out.
She never stopped. And I follow a lot of girls that wear hijabs because their style is fucking impeccable on TikTok. And at that time we were going to school, you didn't see anybody with a hijab. You didn't see any proud Nigerian man. You didn't see any. She was the only one that it seemed like because you could tell by her attire, so it kind of put her at a disadvantage. You know what I'm saying? But I wonder if it was hard for her to have parents that wanted to keep their tradition when you see other kids who get to lose it.
Right. I don't want to speak too heavily for her because it's her story.
No, I'm not going to speak for her either, but I'm just wondering.
I can definitely say I know for a fact it was hard. We've talked a million times about all that. You got to think, we've been friends since 6th grade.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me? So, like, and I, you know, I'm a people's person, so we clicked hard.
Yeah.
So, it's like, yeah, shit was tough. Yeah. You feel me? And I won't go into detail about nothing. No, you should. You know.
But I can imagine it.
It is something. My whole point of saying that is that it is shit like that is tough, even though, like, the kids and shit like that trying to find their way.
So, then I wonder, I wonder how many people do have culture at home, then get to school and don't want to.
Yeah.
And want to disassociate from that real culture.
And what made her so really people be so cool with her about it, that, like, because honestly I ain't gonna lie, like people got fucked with for wearing hijabs and coming in and like they fucking whatever traditional attires are trying to be like
traditional,
yeah, right. People got fucked up, especially where I went to school. Me and her went to the same school in West Oakland. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And I ain't gonna lie, them kids out there was dirty, disgusting and mean.
Yeah,
you feel me? So she stood up for herself a lot. First of all, people realized she was cool.
Yeah.
You feel me? Cool as hell. And she stood up for herself a lot. So it was like, at a certain point, people really had to back up. Like, you feel me? Yeah, you wear the hijab and we expect you to be very well spoken and probably not even talk to people. But nah, Karima gonna sock you on your shit if you don't leave her alone. So right. It's like, ultimately, my point in saying that is that she had to work extra hard
to get that
on both sides of the field in order to establish some level of balance and respect.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So it is tough.
Because she was different.
Yeah, she was different.
But I wonder if you talk to her now, she's an adult, you should ask her. I wonder if she...
I gotta find her.
I think I have her on Insta. I mean, Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, we never stopped being friends.
No, yeah, I see
I
that.
Wonder if she now is an adult. And I'm not just speaking about her. I'm speaking about all people who came in with their culture and felt maybe, I'm not speaking for her, but I'm saying maybe they felt a little ashamed or uneasy or embarrassed or whatever it was they were feeling. I wonder if now as adults they appreciate the fact that their parents brought the culture.
Yeah. I feel like hopefully... You know what? I can't even say hopefully. I don't know. I wonder too.
But I wonder too. I wonder if...
Because I'm sure some people hate it. That, like, why the fuck would you bring this culture here and make me have to go through all of this?
Yeah.
And then some people are like, this is my shit.
This is who I am.
This is my shit.
This is my people. This is what I do. This is what we do.
Like my boy Abdul. My boy Abdul at the smoke shop.
Oh, Abdul.
Heavy in his culture. I'll be pulling up.
I ate food
with my bare hands with them off of the same plate behind in the back of that smoke shop. You feel me?
That's the best way
their
to
mom
eat it.
Cooking. I'm like, where the forks at? He like, just stick your hand. And I'm like, what? He like, that's how we do it.
Yep.
Sit down. I'm making you eat with us. Put your hand in the plate.
Yep.
I'm grabbing rice and chicken that got sauce on it with my bare hands with him. So it's like, yeah, some people embrace it. And I'm sure some people get extremely upset that they still have to.
They're not just American.
Yeah, like why am I not just American? But
that
pisses me off too sometimes because I'm like, being American sucks. I ain't gonna lie, I'm one of them people. So I'm like, this shit sucks sometimes.
Well, I mean, American, and my quote culture is American, technically.
Right.
But I would have loved to know
more
who I am, who my people were before we got to America. I would love to know if I'm Nigerian, if I'm this, if I'm that, because that would be able to connect me to a deeper me. If you are just American, your history only goes back so far. Right. America's new. America is not old and it's not rich in flavor like you think it is.
That's what we need to do. This is a task for everybody listening.
Go find out.
Find out who you are. Not who you are, duh, but like, you get me. Find out your background. You feel me? Where you come from. Not, okay, you're American, but every American for real has roots somewhere else.
Because none of us started here.
There's only select few.
Except for the natives.
Yeah, I was about to say, except for the natives.
But they have the culture. They never lost it. They call them
American. They native. They still in nation.
And they got their land. Well, not all of it. But they got their land and they got their culture. Right. They don't consider themselves American.
They have their own law system. Yes. They're their own shit, for real. So that's the task for y'all. Go look up and figure out who you are, whether you got to do a family tree or damn.
We're going to do our ancestry. Let's do our ancestry.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it next week. We'll do our ancestry this week. Talk about it next week.
Ancestry, if you listen and tap in.
Yes. We're out of time. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in to our first podcast of Higher Thinking. We'll be back next week, Monday, 8 a.m., so don't miss it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for, of course, tuning in. Have a good day.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to an episode of Higher Thinking with Ashley.
And Bar. What's cracking?
What is cracking? It was a long week.
Everything is cracking.
It was a long week for us. We just came back from EDC Orlando.
Big shout out to EDC for putting on one of the greatest raves ever.
If you don't know what EDC is, it stands for Electric Daisy Carnival. It is
exactly what
it sounds like.
Electric Flowers Carnival.
Put it all together.
On four fields with live music.
Yeah. It was absolutely insane. And I can say that being from the Bay Area, our whole atmosphere of parties is not good.
Yeah, literally since I started going to parties, I could say
since even parties in high have school, been parties, you can almost guarantee some shit cracking off.
Literally, there is an unwritten rule in the Bay Area that leave before the lights come on. If you leave after the lights come on in the club, the building, the function, whatever it is, if you leave after the lights come on, bullshit is happening and you are going to be caught in the middle of it.
So 100%. It was interesting to see this crowd of people. It was just like the vibes were so different. Like, I personally myself did not see one fight. I didn't see one, like, you know how people start to gather because something's brewing? Like, I didn't see that. I didn't see people running for dear fucking life. Like,
you didn't see the police slamming people and shit.
Everybody that I encountered was so nice, so willing to, like, help or give information or just talk, share stories. So, I wasn't sure walking in because I'm like, to be honest, this is not my type of music. Like, if I have to be honest and say, like, I get in the car and listen to this type of music, I would be lying.
No, you don't get it. Yeah, of course. I feel like that's not the type of music you get in the car and just... Well, some people do.
But I feel like some people do. Yeah. Some people genuinely know these bands and genuinely go for these bands.
I know. I had somebody ask me, somebody was like, did blah, blah, blah play? And I was like,
I have no idea.
I was like, there was a bunch of people on the lineups. I'm sure they probably played.
I was concerned because I'm like, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to take this music for. Like, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to...
Right. With the strobe lights and shit.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I don't know, bro. Structures. I don't know how my brain is going to be able to compute this for. But actually, when I got there, like, I liked the music. I liked the lights. I liked the... because honestly, when you haven't ever been, you don't know what it's going to be. Right. But the effort that they put into putting this on is, like, astronomical. Like, from the structures to the layout to, like, the little things are, like, floating in the sky that you don't see until you actually see them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Those little things that were in the trees and shit. Yeah. Drones, too.
You're talking about they had, like, sea urchins. Big-ass sea urchins in the trees.
And they were, like, glowing and, like, I don't know. It was just they had rides.
Yeah. They turned the entire thing into, like, it's not like you had a concert. You know, like, you think of a festival and it's, like, you know, it's a few stages. And it's different music at each stage, and you walk around and see people partying on each area. It's like, no, the entire thing is literally an experience. The whole shit is a party. People is partying by the bathrooms, people partying by the exit, the entrance,
People like, partying everywhere.
Literally.
It's people are partying in the bathroom.
It's people passed out on, like, slanted hills next to the little baby, like, pond that's over
Don't
there.
Don't say
like,
passed out, because that insinuates that they've lost consciousness. They're asleep.
Passed out. Okay, I can't. Yeah, I'm not going to say passed out, but, like, people sleeping, basically, like, it's just, like, it's a whole experience. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was a good time, and I can honestly say that the tickets are, so we got VIP tickets.
Right.
And that's not a flex, because to be very honest, I don't think it was worth it. I don't know if we didn't utilize all the perks that came with VIP just because we were so caught up in like seeing everything and writing everything and experiencing everything. But I feel like we spent most of our time in GA with all the other people who were like the most lit. Like, I don't feel right. like... When we did go to VIP, when we first got there, the first day we went to VIP, I feel like it was kind of dead.
Yeah, no, I feel like VIP is for, like, is literally for, like, if you want to, like, chill out a little bit more. If you don't want to be right in the middle of everything and, like,
yeah,
or not even right in the middle, because you could be off to the side and still involved, you know? So it's, like, it's VIP is more like a, you have an area to sit down. That's really what VIP for. You could get to these.
But even still, I feel
where
like
they sell merchandise. The lines are shorter.
Yes.
The food, like food lines and like shit like that within VIP bathrooms and stuff like that is
the
better.
The bathrooms are better.
So like the places you buy stuff in the bathrooms and like you got somewhere to sit down, but you don't spend much time in that because it's like you came there for like, you got to see everything. So you spend.
But also like.
It takes 2-3
when
days
when we sat on the grass and we sat on the bench and we were just chilling out, we weren't in VIP. It wasn't hard to find the things that you want not being in VIP. Let me just put it like that. Like when we went to the bathroom twice, not in VIP.
Right.
And the lines were lines that I would expect at any basketball game, football game, concert. Like it wasn't like Tara was like, oh, bitch, I've been in this line for 2 hours. I'm finna pee on myself. Like I waited for like 10 minutes, like, but I feel like that's normal when you go to things like this.
Yeah.
There's 100,000 fucking people here. Right. Also, and who's going to walk all the way longer. Back over the field to go to the VIP bathroom?
Right. I ain't gonna lie, though. I think I've noticed towards the end that there was way more VIP areas than we realized. Like, every stage had a VIP area. But I feel like we went through most of them, if not all of them at that point. I think it was one area we really didn't go through, but they all really consisted of the same shit. You know, it's just like a little area for you to sit down and maybe access shit faster. You know, like the drink lines, to get like any sodas, whatever you need.
To get any drinks, any food, bathroom, the line was shorter.
Yeah, way shorter. But apart from that, it wasn't nothing like exquisite about it, you know? Maybe Vegas is a little different. Maybe like in the VIP area in Vegas, they got like misters and shit.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
That's the one thing I heard when I was talking to a girl there. She was like, the thing about Vegas is that obviously, it's super fucking hot. So this EDC went to was in Orlando, and it wasn't super hot, but it wasn't super cold either. Like, the first day was hotter than the second day.
Right.
Well, the second day was hotter than the third day, technically, because we missed the first day.
Right.
But
because we went Saturday.
We went Saturday and Sunday. But she said that Vegas is significantly hotter, which obviously we already know. So she was like, the thing about VIP, and also Vegas capacity is 400,000 versus 100,000 at Orlando.
That's 4 times as big.
So she was like, think about the lines. Think about the lines for food, drinks, any attractions, anything. Super long. And then she was like, also the water, the air-conditioned bathrooms, like all of that shit really makes a difference in Vegas.
Right. And then, yeah, you got to think, I could imagine it would definitely be bigger because it's like out there in Orlando, it was a big stadium and it was the field surrounding the stadium where they threw it. And then it was houses and everything directly around it. Out here is just desert. Like, it's just open space. So they definitely could be like, we're going to make this 4 times bigger with 4 times as many people. And, like, it would make sense. But I ain't going to lie, I'm kind of nervous about going to Vegas, though. Because it's like...
I'm not. Guys, we got our tickets to Vegas EDC 2023. I am so fucking ready. This year, I got my outfit from Target in the mall because I just didn't know the vibes. But now I know the vibes, honey. And I will be coming ready to rave under the lights in 2023.
Yeah. I always get nervous about like places like festivals and shit like that in hot ass places like Coachella in LA, where it's like how hot it is, and you just hear the stories about people getting like trampled or passing out from heat exhaustion because they couldn't get access to nothing. I'm like, I get nervous about that because I'm like, I don't want to get caught stuck in something and I can't, like, I don't got access to nothing.
But honestly, though, I feel like we're not those people who like make our way down to the front of the stage where they're like, we like to
squeeze through.
Yeah,
everybody.
We like to observe from the back anyway. So once y'all all start running, we go.
We've seen it kick off from the very start of the stage. We getting out the exit when y'all start running.
I feel like there's just a way, because we do have a little bit of paranoia, I feel like, just about little things like that. Like, I don't want to be trampled. I don't want to be caught at the front of the stage, can't fucking breathe. Right. We hear about this very often.
But it's reasonable paranoia. It's not like just a wild
thought. No, it is. When you're somewhere with that many people.
It's 100,000 people. So many people are, like, in a whole different world. You feel me? Like, on a whole different plane than you, right?
Yeah.
You feel me? They in a whole different world. It's like people panic. A lot of people go into like sheer shock and just go into survival mode and don't care. It's like, so it's a reasonable thing because it's happening. But it's also like, I feel like we ain't going to be the ones to get caught in that for real, because it's like we come prepared. We just, that was our first big rave festival like that. We came with the hydration packs. We had the first aid kit in each bag. We had
air tags.
We had locks on the bags. We had air tags locked in the bags.
Portable chargers.
Yeah, portable chargers. We had literally everything could have possibly needed to at least make it.
Ponchos,
hours worth it. Yeah, right. 3-4 hours of trying to get out of somewhere and make it out. We had enough shit to keep us going.
Yeah, we did.
You good at cut? You good at gas? You good? You thirsty? I got you. Yeah. Like.
I think we did good. And I also think kind of like seeing how everybody else came, we might have been a little like
over-prepared. Nah.
No. Let me rephrase. I don't think there's a such thing as over-prepared. No, but I think that there's a level of comfortability that comes with doing something so often. Like, if we went to raves all the time, we probably wouldn't have Benadryl just in case, an allergic reaction. Probably wouldn't have Advil just in case, you know what I'm saying? Like, all those little things.
Right.
But I think that we freaked ourselves out knowing how many people and also the possibilities. But I think
now you gotta think, though. You gotta look at, like people was in that Facebook group you joined. Like, hey.
Let me say this. By the way, guys, I am a Facebook group joiner. If you don't know if I'm in your Facebook group, I probably am, because I love a good Facebook group. I just have to say that.
People was in your little group like I got Narcan with the, I got a red hat on, blah, blah, blah. And if you see me, like, you know, or I got a first aid kit. Like, people, it was other people that was coming prepared like us. And I'm sure this is probably, like, they 10th rave, you feel me? And that's why they coming prepared like that, because they didn't seen it all happen.
They didn't seen it all, yeah.
This ain't they second or third rave. This is, like, they 10th, 15th rave. Right. But they, like, I was like that until I seen it happen, and now I'm coming prepared
every
time.
I'm prepared.
So I feel like we dodged that. We seen it happen, and now we prepared. We just come prepared.
We can't prepare.
So maybe we won't see it happen on that scale.
Guys, we got insoles, like Dr. Scholl's insoles.
Duh.
We got everything to make sure that we were not fucking uncomfortable or just... Right. Feeling any type of way during this festival, because honestly the tickets are really expensive, and I really wanted to experience everything.
But after the first day, we slowed, boy. That first day
was crazy.
That was bad.
It was after a really no day. But it was really good experience. I think it's just hard on your body. It's a lot of walking, it's a lot of just dancing around and just high energy. There's like no chance for you to have a low energy, because everyone you walk past has high energy, and I am a true believer in energy transference. So I feel like since everyone just has such high energy, there's literally no opportunity spiritually for you to be low energy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it won't work.
It was a really good time. So yeah, enough about that.
I feel like I'm gonna say this: the most traumatic thing, not even traumatic, like the worst thing that we saw throughout the entire trip was when we got back to Vegas in the airport, and that lady let her little dog get his foot.
Oh my god! In the escalator, dude. On the way back home, we had two flights back home because we had a layover. We were transferring flights. Were we transferring
flights? No, we was here.
No, we were picking up Holly. No, we had Holly.
We was here yes, already.
Okay, so we linked. Cause, okay, so my mom had Holly. My mom flew to get Holly and flew back home with her so that we could fly to EDC. And then our layover was in SFO. So we picked her up at the airport and then we flew back to Vegas with her. So we saw a lady with like a little, what was it, like a Pomeranian? Like it was something so small like that size. Pomeranian, Maltese, Chihuahua size, Yorkie size.
Yeah, like a Yorkie
kind. Yeah. And, oh my God, I can't.
So, there was, so we was walking and we was about to go down the elevator to baggage claim. If you ever been in an airport in Vegas, you know, right when you about to go down those big escalators to go down towards baggage claim, like the trams and stuff. So, we started to walk towards it and it was a group of people coming up on one side and out of nowhere, you just hear this sick whimper, like
not even a whimper. It was like
it was like a scream, but in like dog.
In like dog, like, yeah.
Yeah, it was a full like
help,
bloody murder scream.
Yes, but oh in my dog. God, y'all.
And basically, what happened was, is this lady, you know, as dumb as it was, she was not paying attention, especially having a small dog on the escalator.
Hairy too. Let's not mention that.
Hair,
yeah.
With longer hair. If you have a small dog on an escalator with longer hair, please pick it up and don't let it ride by itself. Because she let the dog stand, and when they went to step off, the dog's hair and stuff caught that little where the escalator goes in,
goes
at the
back
top,
into itself,
and it caught it and literally just start pulling the dog's entire foot and leg God. Into the escalator,
and the poor dog was,
and it's like a grinder,
screaming. The poor, I didn't know, I literally,
oh my God.
Okay, I literally froze. Like, when I tell you guys that I've seen some shit in my life, but, like, about animals, I am different, bro. When I tell you that, like, because, okay, here's me. I have some medical training, right? And I'm thinking, okay, that's a dog. I don't know shit about a dog. I don't know how to check a pulse on a dog. I don't know how to do anything about a dog. I can get the dog CPR, but the dog is not incoherent. But then I hear the dog screaming and everyone start, like, my body literally felt like stone. Listening to the dog scream like that, like, I've, as bad as it's gonna sound, I literally expected, like, to see, like, the dog, like, explode.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, pop. You know what I'm saying? I was, it's not even being funny. Like,
I get you.
I did not.
See, like, the whole leg get ripped
off. I did not. And then, like,
and I thought that was gonna happen too. So that's why, like, when he started whimpering, I turned to go towards to help. And then you start walking towards it hella fast. So I turned and was like, I gotta grab Holly now. So when I grab Holly and then I see you freeze, I'm like, babe, grab Holly. Grab Holly. And then I see what's happening. I'm like, cover her eyes. Because I'm trying to get you to cover her eyes. Because I'm like, the dog's legs is probably about to come off. But I need to get over there and help. You're frozen. Holly's right here. She can't see this, but I can't walk away. And then I start screaming out, hit the emergency button to stop the fucking escalator.
No one hits the emergency button.
Mind you, listen. It's,
there's like 15 people coming up the escalator. 15
people, and they not even just from on the escalators. People coming from off of the escalator trying to help. And nobody's hitting the big red button on the side of the escalator. On every escalator in the world, that is an emergency stop, literally. In department stores, malls, wherever it's at, it's a stop button. I'm yelling, hit the stop button. Nobody hits it. And I guess they eventually pull the dog's leg out. Ashley still froze the entire time. So I had to grab her and, like, pull her back towards me, like, get the baby. And then some pilot.
Don't make it seem like my baby was left behind. My baby was very well near.
She was next
she
to
was
me.
She was very well near, sir.
So basically a pilot walked past and the pilot's like, yeah, it looks like a piece of the dog's foot came off. And I'm like, oh my God, like, damn, that's crazy. Because it's like, it's literally happened because she was not paying attention.
I literally,
and now like a piece of the dog's foot. And I was like, hopefully she's not one of those people that's about to try to like push through it and still go get on a flight back home or something, you know, like,
you never know.
Well, the dog's leg looked like it was broke to me, honestly.
Yeah, but we never know if she sat there and held the dog crying. She didn't do a thing. She didn't even look at the dog's foot. She just was like pulling him in.
And like shocked. Like,
yeah, like checked, examined the dog.
See if everything is okay.
And then the guy that we were walking off the airplane with, he was like, dude, the sound of that dog screaming is going to like terrorize me.
It's like stuck in his head.
And I literally was like, that's why I froze. Like, it literally, like, as corny as this shit sounds, it like penetrated my soul. Like, I, in that moment,
it was a sick scream.
Did not, I never heard a dog make that sound.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Like, okay, moving on, because I will cry. Right. Dude, that was
hey, so by fucking... the way, shout out to the dude we met on the plane that ended up being a friend on the plane and then walked through the entire airport with us.
Yeah, shout out to that guy. He was pretty cool. So, yeah, that was crazy. And so now I want to talk about something else. Shifting gears. Dun, dun, dun. We had a great weekend at EDC. Oh, let me also share this funny story real quick before we move on. I convinced Barr to go on the... Orlando Eye, I guess they call it.
Yeah, the Eye at Icon Park.
At Icon Park, the big Ferris wheel. And let's just say that we were both so frozen and riddled with fear once we got up there that we did not move. We did not utilize the Bluetooth music. We did not utilize the view.
Ashley has this problem, y'all.
Oh, blame it on me.
Yes, it is, 100%. Because I'm off the rip like, nah, it's no point. What are we going to... I know what we're going to see when we get up there, and we don't need to see it. So she got
this issue. But you never said that out loud. Let me just clarify
that. But I always go like... I always deter away from it, but then be like, if you want to, we can. If you hear me, if you want to, on something high, clearly I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it with you. Because if you want to, we can. But she got this problem where it's like, on the ground... Wherever we are, she has the most courage ever, the bravest mother, like, you feel me? Like, the bravest mother ever. And she's like, yeah, come on, we could get up there and do this. I ain't tripping. And then, soon as we get in the situation and it's like, we get to the point where it's like, you cannot come back now, sheer panic sets in. She do this on airplanes. She does it at parks, theme parks, where it's like, we good, let's go. And then you see the little bit of hesitation once we start to pull off. And then as soon as the door is closed, seatbelts is locked, we can't turn around no more. She like, oh my God, stop turning your head. Sheer panic. I'm like looking back and forth, y'all, not moving because I'm terrified and I'm frozen. You feel it rocking a little bit. So I'm like, oh my God, we gonna fall. So I'm not moving, but I'm looking left and right. And she's like, stop moving your head. You moving too much. And I'm like, what?
He was turning his neck too aggressively, bro. It was making the whole shit rock, I swear.
And then, you know, I'm not even turning my head that hard because if I look too far left, I'm going to see how we're hanging out over the edge. So I'm really not even trying to look left. I'm more so looking right.
That was a crazy experience. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So anyways, we got cute pictures. We'll post those for you guys to see.
And a live video.
And a live video. Oh, I deleted it. Yeah, but if you caught it, I was terrified in it. So now I want to move on to something that I posted on our Instagram page. If you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us at the Higher Thinking Podcast over on Instagram. We're just a married couple that likes to talk shit.
100%.
And I wanted to know everyone's thoughts about Casey Anthony. If you guys don't know who Casey Anthony is, allow me to introduce you. Casey Anthony is a young mother, was a young mother, who was basically accused of killing her child. She's accused of killing her child, and she went to jail for it. She actually went to trial for it, and she was acquitted of all charges. Now,
the only reason we say accused is because she was acquitted of the charges.
Exactly. So I can't say convicted. So,
accused.
But I want to say that the evidence, if you know anything about this case, the evidence definitely points to her. This is not a true crime podcast. However, I'm just very interested in things like this. And Hulu recently announced that they were doing a documentary with her, a docuseries. And she hasn't spoken out for a very long time regarding this. Right. So I'm very interested to see what she has to say. But let me just give you a fact about the case. The baby was missing for 31 days before Casey Anthony decided to call the authorities and alert them that her child was missing. Not only that, the only reason why she called the authorities to alert them was because the grandparents were starting to question where their granddaughter had been for 31 days.
And they was basically at a point where it's like, either you're going to call them or we're going to call them. So you got like an hour to let me know.
Yeah. So she called the police. She says that someone has her kid. 31 days later, she knows who has her kid. She's been trying to get in contact with this person.
For 31 days.
Yet this person has not been contacting her back.
But
fast forward. Okay, go ahead, baby.
Go ahead. I was going to say, but let's keep in mind, in this 31 days of not knowing where the baby is, she's out partying with friends nonstop, going places, like, not in any type of way that...
Distressed,
like, I just lost my kid. Right. And I don't know where my kid is.
Now, take a moment to think. I need to take a moment to think what I would do if my kid was missing for 31 fucking seconds.
Even as someone who doesn't have kids, as a human...
A kid is missing. Everyone goes into shock.
A kid, not even your kid. A kid that you are very close to goes missing. Your brain does not go, I'm about to go turn up. We got a break. Your brain goes, holy shit. I mean, crap. Where is this kid at?
I probably wouldn't be sleeping, eating. I would probably be like out looking, or any sound that I hear, like looking out the window. Like, I would be at the police station like, what are you guys doing?
Dude.
I would be going crazy.
I'm trying to pull camera footage from every building possible. I'm going crazy. In any direction as far as I can.
I've hired a PI. I'm going fucking crazy because my kid is missing. So anyways, fast forward, the poor baby is found. Not far from her home.
Not far at all.
Yeah,
like,
not far
right,
at all.
Right there. almost on the property, I believe it was. Right off of the property.
I don't want to give incorrect statements, but it was a little, not too far off from where she lives. And it was found by a worker, a city worker.
Okay.
Who was like, I think I found, like, looks like bones. I don't want to pick it up. So they come out, find it. It's the baby. Now, she's acquitted of all charges, which means that the jury did not see enough evidence that she killed her kid. But my thing is, the 31 days itself is enough for me to think that you're guilty. Because any real parent, and I know that it's not, you can't generalize everybody, but I'm comfortable doing it in this predicament. Any real parent.
And yeah, definitely in a parenting category.
Any real.
You can't generalize.
Parent. Their kid goes missing. Think about any panic when you go into Target and Holly's done found something and you don't immediately see her
that
when you
brief,
turn around.
That brief 2 seconds where your brain just scanned around you and you don't see your kid, but they're directly under you. Or behind that little, behind the stand with the clothes on it. It's like, those brief seconds are like the most terrifying thing ever. Your brain immediately goes into all forms of survival possible. So it's like, I couldn't imagine experiencing that. Those 2 seconds, what, just 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. You experiencing it that many times for 31 days straight. I wouldn't be able to physically operate at that point. Like, it don't make sense.
So she's literally out partying. She's out doing her.
Turning up.
She's out living
also
life.
Also asking, like, you guys are always so worried about her and where she's
at.
Yes,
that's what I was going to say.
Never about how I'm doing or how I'm, like.
Was just going to say that I was watching something on YouTube. And then they were playing a call between Casey Anthony and her parents. And her parents were saying, we just need to know where Kaylee is. Like, we just need to know. And she was like, all you guys care about is where is Kaylee. Basically insinuating, like, I'm in here fighting for my life, in the words of R. Kelly, and you guys don't care about me. You care about this kid who's missing. So fucking what?
Right.
I'm in here fighting for my life.
Right.
I was just out partying for 31 days straight. Do you know how much of a shock I'm in being in jail? And I feel like that speaks volumes. Because, of course, everyone is worried about where the fuck your baby is.
Right. We understand that. You're in jail.
Rightfully still, so, because it's not adding up, Levy.
But even if we don't go there yet, but it's still...
Where is the baby?
Yeah. If I went to jail and we were still trying to find the baby, even though I got arrested and I know for a fact I'm innocent and I didn't do this, I'm upset about that. But, listen... We're going to go through a process to figure out what's going on with me. We need to find this baby still.
Right.
We still need to find our kid, or I still need to find my kid. So y'all do everything that y'all possibly can, and I'm going to do what I can from in here to try to help us find her. But eventually we're going to deal with me, but let's try to find her first. Nothing ever made sense the entire time. It's like, even if... I ain't gonna lie. It's like, even if she's really not guilty, because did you just see that they said that she's supposedly trying to say, like, her dad... basically had something to do with it because he like abused her and all of that stuff when she was a kid. I feel like even if at this point it's like she really didn't do it, it's like you still
the way that you acted. You and still should have
went to jail at this point. Mm-hmm. Like I ain't gonna lie, you should have still got arrested and did you some real time.
No concern.
And if that was the case, then that leads you to think about like what could that kid have possibly been going through before, you know, she unfortunately passed away. You know, like
I wonder what was the dad's involvement, if any, because I do believe that. They were saying that the baby drowned, which is one theory. And another theory was that the mother was giving her some sort of medicine to like put her to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she just gave her too much and she never woke up, whatever, whatever. Either way, if the baby drowned, isn't the first thing that you do call 911? Like, my kid was in the pool, blah, 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 whatever the situation.
While trying to do whatever life-saving movements you can make, the first thing that you do is call the police. Because, you know, if anybody can help this situation right now, it's going to be the EMT. The police, the paramedics, like, they're going to be able to do this.
And who is Nanny Zans? Some people were saying those were Zanny bars.
Nanny Zans?
Yeah, something like that. She was saying that the lady that took the baby was named like Zans or something like that.
Oh, so she was probably trying to talk in code saying like...
And yeah, so now people are saying, well, what she was saying that what she's trying to say that like the Zans had her out of her body and like she just didn't watch her kid and...
But even if that's worse. It's like, well, not worse, but it's also like, why are you giving your kid Xanax? Why are you giving your kid
she was on Xanax.
She was on Xanax, and then she was
too high to watch the baby. The
baby somehow died. I think that was a theory that something happened to the baby. I heard a while back when it first came up is that something happened to the baby and she just buried the baby.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, just buried her body. And then it was... Then she just tried to get past it eventually, and I guess it all came to a
head. Yeah. But then here's my thing. I don't know. Because in the way she acted in those 31 days makes me believe that her motive absolutely was that she was tired of being a mom.
Yeah, it's like the first break you get in that manner, you just go hard. Like,
no, I can see if you maybe started drinking... And you were at home and you were a fucking mess. You weren't eating. Your house was terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Then I could say, oh, she's fucking spiraling without her kid. Maybe we can angle it in a way that doesn't seem like you're having the time of your life. But you're out dressed up doing this, doing that. You know, and not that we can tell anybody how to grieve or that grief looks the same on everybody. But some things are just inappropriate.
Right.
Some things are just flat out inappropriate, especially when you know that eventually people are going to come looking for your kids.
Right. You have a whole kid that people love.
I just feel like this. Either way, she's guilty because if it was an accident, why was your first thing not to call the authorities or get the baby to a hospital?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Why would that not be the first thing you do?
Because you're guilty, period. I feel like if that's any situation ever where that wasn't the first option or the first thing that you did, you were guilty of something.
Yeah.
It was something that you was trying to hide that just makes you just as guilty as the person that did it if you didn't do it, period.
That's a hard one. I mean, I can say that I will be watching the documentary as much as people are like, don't give her any power. Look, babe, Hulu gave it to her.
Right. First of all, shout out to Hulu, but Hulu, y'all out of pocket.
Well, think about this.
For giving her the platform to tell this side of the story.
Look what Jeffrey Dahmer has done. And no one's saying, oh, Netflix, how dare you?
A lot of people did, actually.
I mean, but I think that the uproar comes from people. I think that the majority of the uproar about her having a platform, because we've seen many serial killers.
Jeffrey Dahmer was done for. He went to jail and got...
But Jeffrey Dahmer also wasn't the first person that Netflix gave... Who somebody else was before Dahmer, the Night Stalker, or
hella people.
It was a whole bunch of people that were before Dahmer, and that they big people have been given platforms to. But I just think that the nature people think that the nature of the crime is worse, even though what Jeffrey Dahmer did was by far...
It's a kid.
Your own kid.
Right.
That you covered up. That you showed no remorse for.
And that everybody basically kind of knew you were
guilty. Because some people can understand a stranger that's a fucking psychopath that kills people.
A serial killer,
right? Over a mother that... From what it seems like to us, has killed her kid and now has told all these lies to cover it up.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
I think people have a harder time understanding that. And that's why people are so against her. But I have to say, I'll be watching because I want to know. She ain't going to tell the truth. She ain't going to come on here and really tell. She's going to tell the same thing we've already heard, except for she's going to place blame on her dad, blame on her mom, blame on the authorities, blame on the jury. Mm-hmm. I can already see that happening.
100%.
100%. But I need to hear what she has to say.
We got to hear the rest of it. Like, what is your side, for real?
What,
like,
are you going to say about this? Because what can you say? I want to know. And I really hope that Hulu doesn't take it easy on her. I hope that they ask her, what were you doing in those 31 days where your kid was missing?
And I hope that's their point of it. Like, we finally got her to talk, and we really grilled her ass.
I hope they
because
do.
Because we get what y'all believe, and we get what we believe with y'all as well. You know, like, so we got her to talk, and yeah, this is a little bit of a big up for her because she gonna get some shit out of this, but... We finally got some answers. We finally got somebody that got her in the room, not in the courtroom, and really pressed her to find out what she really feels and how she pictured it played out in her head or whatever it is, you know?
And I wonder what she's been doing this entire time, because she can't be just living as freely as people think she is. People fucking hate her.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I am very surprised that she is unharmed.
Right, but you got to think about how many people probably walk past her and go, damn, that looked like that lady from child back then. What was it, Casey Anthony? Damn, that looked just like her. Mm-hmm. And then keep going. Mm-hmm. Because you never in a million years think that you just walked past Casey Anthony. You feel me? Even if it looks just like her, like, damn, that looked just like that girl. You ain't going to walk up and be like, you're Casey Anthony. Because you don't.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm just surprised that. Out of all these years, not one person was like, yeah, bitch, you're Casey Anthony. You're out of pocket. You know what I'm saying? Line. Yeah, I'm on you. So
somebody was like, even though you look just like her and I can't confirm it, I think you're Casey. You. I think you're Casey.
I don't know. So I'm about to catch a Casey. I'm sad because I just feel like we need to know what happened to this little girl. I feel like everyone in America needs to know. Because just like the JonBenet Ramsey case. Do you remember that?
I believe I do. You got to remind me.
She was like a pageant girl, and like her parents, she was like murdered, but like her parents were there. And like they were saying her parents.
I feel like we watched this. Like, definitely watched this. It was just, I know, like, the name. I just feel like there are certain cases.
There's certain cases that we get hit with every once in a while where we just really, as people on this planet, need to know what happened to that baby. Because how
is this possible?
Yes, there you go.
And why is the repercussions not as severe?
Why are they not repercussing?
Yeah, like, right. Why are they not repercussing, period?
Right. We need to know. And I'm interested to see what she has to say for herself. And I'm interested to see how she frames it. Because to me, no matter how you paint it, you're guilty. She's guilty.
There's nothing she could say, for real. And if there's anybody that...
She's guilty of something.
Right.
Something.
And I feel like at this point, it's not even something. You guilty of it, period. Like,
for real in her life, she did not kill her. She, at the very least, she is guilty of negligence.
Yeah. Of negligence that resulted in death. Which is, you still need some real time. Like, period. You know, like, I remember when this case came on, like, when I was growing up. I remember it. Like, not, you know... completely all the way through, but I remember seeing it everywhere and hearing case facts and stuff like that, and it's like, I don't know how she didn't get convicted. Like, it's there's some weird gray area or loophole that she fell into that let her not get convicted.
No, I think it was just they really just could not.
But I feel like every person in the world was like,
yeah,
you did this shit. So it's but like,
the thing about it is a jury is not about that. A jury has to base on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say this. If that was me, I would be in jail for life.
100%.
I'm just going to leave that where it is.
We know why.
If that was me, I'd be in jail for life. But I feel like she deserves some consequences. And I mean, if anything, I hope that this just makes America look at her with even more hatred.
Because now you had all this time
and you still telling lies.
You beat the case.
And you still telling lies.
They can't go back and hit you. You could get hit with a civil lawsuit or something like that, but you can't get hit with a criminal lawsuit.
Well, I had posted on Instagram that her dad said that if ever she, if ever she tried to sell her story or profit off her story, that her dad would sue her for a wrongful death. And I'm interested to see if that will happen.
And if he'll win.
Well, I'm interested to see if he's going to keep his word, if he really feels some type of way about it. Because if he don't, he did something too.
Mm-hmm. None of y'all
pressing for justice the way that I would be pressing for justice if it was somebody that I cared and loved for.
I wouldn't have slept until somebody got grabbed for it.
So I want to see if Dad keeps that promise that he made on national TV.
Yeah, what you going to do, Pops?
But that's going to be interesting, and we're going to be here to talk about it, and we're going to watch it. The last thing that I just kind of want to talk about, because we talked about this before in the last episode, was Love is Blind.
Right.
And since then, we have watched the reunion. Well, did you watch the reunion with me? Bits and pieces, no? Mm-hmm. Well, I watched the reunion, and we did watch the last episode together where the couple either got married or they didn't. And I wanted to speak on...
Right, I think I know what you're talking about.
I wanted to speak on Zainab and Cole.
No idea who either one is.
Well, let me speak on this, and then people in listening to the podcast that watch the show will either agree or disagree. Now, she knew that she was much older than him when she got with him. She's much older than him.
Okay.
He's in his mid-20s. She's in her early 30s.
Oh, yeah. That's age difference.
It's mentally, like 5 years or 6 years.
Right. Yeah. That time frame is such a mental difference. It's not even funny.
Yes.
Those are like prime years where women and men separate mentally and maturity-wise. Mm-hmm.
And so when she first realized that he was in the pods before they had even seen each other, when he first revealed his age, she was taken aback. She had some hesitation behind that for good reason. She still chose to go forward with that. And then it seemed to me as if she nitpicked everything she knew it was going to be. Like, how clean and prim do you expect a 25-ish-year-old man, like, to be?
You can't.
I mean, you've been with me for 10 years. Right. So you know how to keep a house. If you weren't with me, you'd probably be in an apartment with beanbag chairs. I don't fucking know how you'd be living.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like a boy.
Right. 100%.
Like a boy that's never lived with a woman. Who's never had to care about that. And so to me, it just seemed like she used all that against him. And then I feel like she took the opportunity at the wedding to treat him like the little boy that she saw him as. Because...
That's no good.
All that shit. She said a lot of shit to him. That I feel wedding? Like... Yeah, like, you know, when they either say I do or I don't.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you have made me feel so bad about myself every single day, and you made me feel this way and that way. And it the way that she was getting at him, it would have seemed like she would have been left a long time ago.
Right. Why do you wait to do that till you get on the...
Because I feel like she wanted that chance to scold him in front of everybody.
To, like, down him.
She also, like, overplayed. Like, she was like, oh, he talked about her looks and... told her that she shouldn't eat 2 oranges, and then the footage showed that, like, that's not really the way it happened. Like, I don't know, but I have to say that I think Cole dodged a bullet. I think Cole is the one who dodged the bullet.
Shout out to Cole then.
Shout out to Cole.
Make sure you don't double back on that. Everybody likes to double back on old shit. Don't do it, Cole.
Don't do it, Cole. I don't know. That's all I have to say. The podcast was late this week because I lost my voice at EDC. I literally was whispering for like 3 days straight.
Oh, dude, it was so bad.
It was bad.
Literally, I ain't gonna lie. I like usually I'm super like, oh, you know, let me do what I can to help. I feel bad. I ain't gonna lie, y'all. I could not help myself. I had to like repeatedly make fun of how she was talking. Like every time she would say
well,
something.
Well, you did help me too.
Yeah, I helped you, but it was like she would say something, and then at first it'd be like, what? Because I genuinely couldn't hear it, and then she'd say it again. I'm like, what? And then at a certain point, it's like, what? Like say it again. Just let me, what? And then she said, and I whisper it back to her, like, so.
I was literally whispering, guys, because I barely just got my voice back. I was whispering because that's all I could muster. Like, my vocal cords didn't have the strength to do anything else. So, we're giving you what we can, and I probably still sound a little itchy scratchy. Hopefully, by next week, I'll be back in action. But yeah, that's our life update for this week, and I guess we'll see you next week.
Yep. Talk to y'all next week, though.
Bye.